and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Bahrain's oppressive regime shows no sign of easing up on its repression. Two more activists have been killed by the regime. Ali Al-Arab and Ahmed Al-Malali had been incarcerated since 2017 on alleged charges of terrorism. There are reports of torture by the regime against prisoners, and the two were shot by firing squad during protests rallying against the repression. Another young person was killed as he died from tear gas inhalation. Why is this regime so repressive, and what can be done to stop these blatant acts against human rights? Stay with us as we take a look at all of this on this debate.
Ali Al-Arab and Ahmed Al-Malali were sent before a firing squad in Bahrain at dawn on July 27. The two men, both in their mid-20s, were sentenced to death last year in a mass trial along with 56 other individuals. Bahrain's prosecutor's office says the two young were convicted of possessing explosive and firearms and killing a police officer in 2017. But the opposition Al-Wafaq Society has described the court ruling as retaliatory and the executions as extrajudicial. It says the move is part of an ongoing campaign by the Manama regime to terrorize political dissent. A London-based Bahraini rights group has also condemned the executions as barbaric. The Bahrain Institute for Rights and Democracy says the executions mark one of Bahrain's darkest days. Former Bahraini lawmaker has challenged the verdict, saying the country did not have enough evidence to prove the two activists committed a single crime.
There were not very much crucial evidence that there was, they were at the scene, so-called, they were charged of killing a policeman or something.
Both Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch say the two young men had been tortured to confession before being tried. The two leading rights groups, along with the UN Rights Rapporteur, had made the last-minute appeal to Bahrain on Friday to stop the executions, but their call fell on deaf ears. Iran has also reacted to the death, calling the executions a sectarian act. Britain has expressed deep concern and regret, saying it will follow up the issue at the UN Human Rights Council. People in the tiny Persian Gulf Kingdom came out to vent their anger against the ruling Al-Khalifa dynasty and mourned the death. They held a symbolic funeral in the capital Manama because the authorities refused to hand over the bodies of Arab and Malali to the families for burial. Bahraini activists say the regime's crackdown will not dissuade them from pursuing their righteous demands for freedom and democracy. A bloody revolution rocked Bahrain in 2011, which saw hundreds of thousands calling for the ouster of King Hamad. Since then, the kingdom has been treating the opposition with an iron fist, sending their top figures to exile or behind bars and protesters to the gallows.
I'd like to welcome my guests to the program, Daniel Kovalik, University Lecturer and Author out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Frederick Peterson, Senior U.S. Congressional Defense Advisor out of Richmond, Virginia. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Richmond and Frederick. It appears that the Bahraini regime is getting even more repressive than it had been. Your take on this?
The Bahrain government is reacting, not, I'm getting feedback on this, they are reacting to provocations in the streets and in the political, could we please correct the back feed on this? I'm hearing a delay. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem, Frederick.
Are we together now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? We're okay?
I can't hear anything now.
Okay, well, let me, hopefully we'll get that taken care of. Let me cross over to Pittsburgh and start off with Daniel. Your take on all of this, do you think that the regime is becoming even more repressive than it had been?
Well, I would certainly say it's as repressive as it's been since 2011. As you mentioned, there were uprisings at that time, and the Bahraini government began a crackdown at that period. Human Rights Watch has said that their human rights situation is dismal, in the words of Human Rights Watch. And this is because they are trying to oppress the Shia population in that country that has been rising up. And of course, the other problem is that particularly the United States and the UK are really unwilling to break ties with Bahrain or really even to criticize Bahrain in any serious way for its human rights abuses. And so that really gives Bahrain a free hand to carry out this type of repression.
You know, it almost seems that, Daniel, I'll stay with you until hopefully we get the audio straightened out with Frederick, but it almost seems like a copy-paste as far as relations with Saudi Arabia, what Saudi Arabia does and its repressive techniques. We have Bahrain, and of course, they are allies, doing similar things as far as repression and basically getting similar responses from especially Western countries. Your thoughts?
Well, yes. I mean, the West, and particularly the United States, is very hypocritical when it comes to democracy and human rights. They often tout those as important principles that they try to uphold in the world. And yet they support countries very opportunistically, not based on their human rights situation, but on whether they view those countries as acting within their interests, geopolitical and economic interests. And so the result is that the U.S. will back very repressive governments like the one in Saudi Arabia, like the one in Bahrain, while trying to claim that it cares about human rights. Indeed, the last statistic I saw was that the U.S. backs 73% of the world's dictatorships. And, of course, some of those dictatorships the U.S. actually installed. So, yes, I think Bahrain is an emblematic example of the West's hypocrisy on these issues.
Okay, Frederick, hopefully you can hear me now. Your thoughts in general on the level of repression you can hear me, okay, great. The level of repression of the Bahraini regime and apparently not being able to tolerate any type of perspective other than its own, as so many activists, even they were on social media, had ended up in jail, and these two young men actually now have lost their lives.
Well, we're using a very careful choice of words, calling this activism, when actually what it was riotous, illegal, provocative, violent behavior in the streets that is attempting to unsettle negotiations that are attempting to reach for peace within the region and to grow prosperity within the region, not just for Bahrain, not just for every country and for every ethnic and every religious division within the region. It's attempting to reach for a solution.
Who's doing that exactly,
is something
Frederick?
That is being
I'm trying to follow your train of thought.
Who
is actually initiating that? Who is doing that and trying to bring all of this together?
Well, the United States is and allies are having a conference as coming up that is really being attempted to be undermined by the opponents of true peace in the region. And what we have is individuals, those in the streets, that are being met with violence, yes, but guess what? They are in the streets. They're not sitting in a library. These are not two individuals sitting down playing chess
together. So Frederick Peterson, then what you're basically telling me then is that actually people in Bahrain, they have no right to actually demonstrate. They have no right to dissent as far as being on a politically different wavelength than their government, which is a monarchy, of course, but they don't have the right to actually show their dissent, not social media, not being on the streets, because you have just justified that these individuals have been on the street. Thus, it's okay that this violence has been done against them. I'm trying to follow your logic here. Daniel, let me get you in on this. What do you think about this whole conversation?
First of all, I think what my colleague, how he portrayed the situation actually is a very good example, again, of the U.S.'s double standards on such issues. If people protest, for example, in Hong Kong against China, China being seen by the U.S. as an adversary, if not an enemy, then of course the Western media applauds those protests. If people protest in Bahrain, which is a U.S. client state, then those protests, as my colleague was attempting to indicate, are considered illegitimate. And that is how the world works. And that is how the double standard applies. Meanwhile, I don't know what he's talking about the U.S. trying to build peace in the Middle East. There's no evidence of this. The U.S. is supporting Saudi Arabia in the most brutal war in the world in Yemen. The U.S. is supporting Israel as it's destroying Palestinian homes in East Jerusalem. And the U.S. is obviously trying to provoke a war with Iran as we speak. So the U.S. has no interest in peace in the Middle East. In fact, it's trying to sow chaos. So I have no idea where he's coming from on that issue.
Well, Frederick, what about the Bahraini people? They're asking for one vote. They're asking for a democratic process. But this is how the government or the regime is responding. Is that okay for you sitting in the United States and talking about democracy all the time, that people who are actually take to the streets and demanding democracy, demanding one person, one vote representation, is that okay with you that that type of regime comes down on them in the way that it does?
First, let me say that I find a very hearty and surprising agreement between your other guest and I sharing the rights of the people in Hong Kong to protest the illegal violation of their treaties. And if we can stand together on the rights of the people in Hong Kong to do this, then legal demonstrations I don't mean that are sanctioned by a government, but that are reaching for real rights of the people without violence, without instigation from the exterior, without being funded and used by external powers seeking to turn up trouble, but actually coming from the people, of the people, by the people, for the people within the country, yes, then we can stand together with the rights of those people. However, what we find, the big difference is the demonstrations in Hong Kong are generated from within, and they're coming from very just and clearly defined legal arguments. The demonstrations in Bahrain, and as much of the trouble, and we'd like to get into Yemen also and talk about how the trouble in Yemen is not coming from within the country, but being instigated and exploited with arms, with money, and with plottings from outside the country in order to destabilize.
I asked you about Bahrain. I asked you if you can go against what they're requesting.
They're requesting
a democratic process, one person, one vote. You talked about Yemen and other countries and external influences. If we're going to look at that, then we look at Bahrain. We look at the people, the Bahraini people took to the streets. And actually, we saw tanks rolling in from Saudi Arabia. We had the Saudi troops and others coming in there, Emirati troops. So if we're talking about external influence and trying to stop what the people want, then obviously you should definitely be for the people of Bahrain, because they are standing against a regime that has been very violent and has also been allied and is allied with an entity like Saudi Arabia, who sent troops in and basically stopped them, killed them, imprisoned them. So why wouldn't you be for the people of Bahrain to have their rights?
I believe that we both are, as you have stated it. If we can agree, and I think that perhaps we may be able to, that the legitimate aspirations of the Bahraini people for their God-given rights is being expressed, then I agree, and I believe you agree, and the other guest perhaps can find some uncommon mutuality here, that they do have a right to that expression.
Okay.
So long as that expression is coming from them and within exercising a peaceful means. The problem is that many of these window dressings are of rights are being used to prop up external maneuverings within the country in order to create the instabilities there that we have in Yemen, that we have throughout the Gulf region, and the competition of powers, not only from that region, but from the outside, that are stirring the pot, stirring the pot,
okay,
and
well,
using
good point
the
there about stirring the pot
in Yemen.
All right, good point.
Bahrain,
let me cross over to Daniel. So Frederick talked about stirring the pot. Well, let's look at stirring the pot. Daniel, when we look at the situation in Bahrain, we look at the support that the Bahraini regime gets from the United States, from the UK, despite this crackdown on the people of Bahrain. What does that say to you? Is it that the UK and the US cannot control the Bahraini regime, or is it that they agree with what the regime is doing?
I think they agree with what the regime is doing to the extent that it wants that regime to continue in power, and it's therefore the US and UK are fairly tolerant of their repressive means they use to stay in power. You know, that is what the issue is. They support the Gulf states, which by and large are pretty repressive governments, and they support them for geopolitical reasons, not because of any issues of human rights or democracy. If that was an issue, they wouldn't support those countries. And that's what it comes down to. Again, it's just blatant hypocrisy on the part of the US and UK. And by the way, they're being called out on this by the United Nations, by Amnesty International, by Human Rights Watch. None of those groups I just mentioned believe that Bahrain is in its rights to repress these protests. None of those groups think that the West should continue supporting Bahrain. And yet, here we are. I would like to note, by the way, you mentioned one person, one vote. I think it's probably important to point out that it would be great if the U.S. had one person, one vote, which we don't, of course, because as proven in the 2016 election, you can lose to a candidate by nearly 3 million votes and still be president. So maybe there's a little, shame in on the part of the U.S. when it comes to supporting one person, one vote.
Well, Frederick, I want to pick up on what Daniel said. I mean, he talked about the United Nations and some international organizations actually have condemned what the Bahraini regime is doing. But at the end of the day, so what? What does it mean if just an oral, verbal condemnation is all that comes out from the United Nations, but the repression continues? At the end of the day, what does it mean? What is the role of the United Nations?
Well, at the end of the day, the role of the United Nations is what it has been through much of its history. An Upper East Side, very polite talking society that does very little acting, unfortunately. So, but let's set aside the institutional proclivities and reputation and record of the UN, and look at this again. Once again, I ask, we had some agreement in this conversation on your very program. We agreed that the right of the people to express that right publicly in a public place is a human right. It's an essential human right, and I support that. The United States would support that. The allies would support that in spite of being on the other side on other political issues within the region. However, while we may agree there, let us also agree that there are forces from the outside that are being used to provoke this orchestration of dissent, clothed in the lovely garments of democracy and the will and expression freely of the people. It is being subverted and instigated from the outside in order to achieve geopolitical ends from within and from outside the region.
Of democracy. Orchestration of democracy. Yes. These people are the majority in that country, and a minority monarchy is ruling these people with an iron fist. And are you telling me this is orchestrated from the outside? Are you telling me that the Bahraini people do not know, they do not understand the level of repression in their own country? You said it is their human rights. It's their right to be able to demonstrate. Well, I think that the Bahraini regime has definitely said something else. And of course, again, we're looking at two more individuals, actually three, if we count the individual who lost his life in a demonstration because of tear gas in Bahrain, that obviously the Bahraini regime does not agree with that natural right of dissent. Now, Daniel, what is it going to take? We've already talked about the United Nations and basically perhaps orally condemning, verbally condemning, but basically no action on the ground. We don't see sanctions against the Bahraini regime. Of course, we don't see no-fly zones in the Bahraini regime. We didn't see condemnation of the Saudis and the Emirati troops going into neighborhoods and arresting and killing individuals. So what is it going to take? What is it going to take for the Bahraini people to get the rights that they are demanding?
Truthfully, it's really up to people in countries like the U.S. to pressure their own governments to start taking a principled stand in support of the Bahraini people and against this repression by the government in Bahrain and by Saudi Arabia. And there are some movements that are happening in the U.S. along these lines. There are calls to end, for example, military assistance to Saudi Arabia, and that are gaining a lot of support in Congress. And it's those types of efforts that will win the day, and that's where the fight has to be.
All right, wish we could continue this conversation, but we're out of time. I appreciate both of you being with us. Daniel Kovalek, University Lecturer and Author out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Frederick Peterson, Senior U.S. Congressional Defense Advisor out of Richmond, Virginia. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and all the group right here in Tehran. Hope to see you next time.